All right, welcome in. Good morning, hockey. It's Monday morning. We have one series in the NHL that is finished. We have six series sitting at 3-1. Yes, that is six. Another series could wrap up tonight. We had a stunner of a comeback by the Vancouver Canucks in game four of their series. Oh boy, was that empty netter close or what? So close, yet so far for the Predators. Vancouver goes up 3-1 on that Elias Lindholm game-winning goal in overtime. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today. Hope everyone enjoyed an incredible weekend of hockey. We'll be welcoming on Adam Laskaris from Offside in the Daily Hive in a little bit here to talk about the Toronto versus Boston series. Looks like a meltdown is happening in Toronto right now, at least amongst the fans. We'll get his take on what's happening there. And which team, we're going to ask him, which team has the best chance to come back from their 3-1 deficit? Is it the Tampa Bay Lightning? The New York Islanders? Is it the Toronto Maple Leafs, which he covers? The Winnipeg Jets, the Nashville Predators, or the LA Kings, who fell 1-0 to the Edmonton Oilers last night to go down 3-1 in their series? And Stu Skinner with the 33-save shutout. We'll talk about all this. Really great hockey going around, too. PWHL season's wrapping up. U18 Worlds are going on right now. A lot of really fun, entertaining hockey is happening for our enjoyment. World championships at all levels, really, happening at this time of year. So we're going to talk about all these series, though. Really interested to get Adam's take on what is happening in Toronto right now. We all saw the clip of Austin Matthews and William Nylander sharing words, I guess you could say, with Mitch Marner. And tough play. I mean, the Boston Bruins have been very, very good in that series. Brad Marchand and Jeremy Swayman. We will get Adam's take on all that in a few minutes here. But I wanted to start here with the Capitals and the Rangers just before we bring him on. Rangers sweep the Caps. That is it. Took about 7 days, and the Washington Capitals are the first team out of the playoffs. The New York Rangers are the first team to advance in these 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. They win game 4-2 yesterday. Did a great job of not letting really any life into the Capitals or any sort of belief into the minds of the players from start to finish, from game one to the final horn on game four. This series was all New York Rangers. Alex Ovechkin didn't score a goal in a playoff series for the first time. He was also held pointless. You know, Capitals led for 3 minutes and 21 seconds the entirety of the first round. So it's hard to win many hockey games when you are not winning hockey games for a good stretch of time. So tough series for the Capitals. They're going to, a lot of the young players, Hendrix Lapierre, Connor McMichael, who had a good series too, Alexi Protas, some of these guys are really going to take this experience into next season, use it to grow as players, and know that is the expectation for the Washington Capitals. But overall, I mean, this Rangers team is just on a different level right now. It's a different planet than where the Washington Capitals are at. I think a lot of people pegged Washington as being the worst team in the playoffs. And that's not a knock on what they've been able to do. I'm really high on Spencer Carberry for Coach of the Year this year.
All right, we got Adam on.
Oh, we got Adam on. All right, yeah. So we're going to make a quick pivot. Welcome on, Adam Laskaris. Thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start where I think everyone's mind is at there right now. Is this a full-blown meltdown in Toronto right now? What's the mood around the city with this hockey team?
I mean, I guess it's always a full-blown meltdown in Toronto. I mean, it's a funny thing to kind of see the same situation develop under, you know, a different year. But yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Where you know, the Leafs are playing the same opponent they've played in the playoffs a few times before. It's been a few years since they last played it. You know, it's hard to believe it was 5 years ago the last time they played the Bruins. But I think it's always tense come playoff time. And right now with the Leafs down 3-1 in the series, everybody's kind of already doing their end of season postmortem. Even though, you know, the series isn't technically over, everybody kind of has that feeling like it would be very hard to see this Leafs team come back and win three in a row over the Bruins.
What has been the most impressive part about this Bruins team for you so far in the series? Is it Brad Marchand? Is it Jeremy Swayman? What has really been the key catalyst here for Boston going up 3-1? Charlie McAvoy has also been outstanding this series. Who stands out to you? What stands out to you? Is it the defensive play? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I've always admired about the Bruins is, you know, they're not the only team in the league that this happens to, but it seems like they just never really have an excuse for anything, right? It doesn't really matter who the coach is. It doesn't really matter who the players are. You know, they just organizationally from top to bottom, it seems like whatever they're doing there from a culture standpoint, it seems like they're just always ready to play. And, you know, even like Pastrnak hasn't had the best series, but, you know, Bad Marchand, like you said, he's just been able to kind of carry the team on his back. And it seems like, you know, they come in almost with this intimidation factor that I felt like the Leafs kind of have lacked through the years. And I don't know if that's just a mind games thing. I don't know how much it actually is in the Leafs' heads or if they overthink it that much. But I think it's just the inevitability that they seem to kind of bring with them. And obviously, you know, the Bruins haven't been inevitable. They've been defeated in the first round before. You know, they've been upset last year. But I think at least mentally, it seems like everybody seems a little just off.
Adam, where does it start for you with the Leafs? Is it the momentary defensive lapses? Is it the play of some of the top guys on the team? Why are they not able to put more pucks over the goal line and really put, you know, fear in Boston with waves of momentum that just never seem to really come for the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a... You know, I guess you could start with the shock of William Nylander. You know, I guess the team probably had a bit more notice than the public did. But you start with the shock of William Nylander just being out of the lineup. And, you know, this is a guy that for a guy who gets a lot of criticism, had, you know, probably his best year ever and played in all 82 games, I believe. And then all of a sudden he's not in the lineup. And that, you know, that sort of juggles things up a little bit. But, you know, there was a lot of talk for those few days about, was he going to play? Was he not going to play? You know, we eventually found out it sounded like he was dealing with some migraines, and, you know, that's a big loss to your lineup. But it's really hard to diagnose sometimes, just especially in a small sample size. It seems like they're getting shots on target. They're just playing a really good defensive team with, like I said, it doesn't really seem to matter who they have in net, whether it's, you know, Swayman or Ullmark. They're very well structured, and it seems like sometimes the Leafs just don't quite have that structure, and it's just been an issue with them in the playoffs for the past couple of years, and they run into well-coached teams, and it seems like you know, the things that work well from games 1 to 82 don't always work as well. You know, like they're obviously a skilled team, and you know, Matthews is one of the best goal scorers we've seen in this generation, and he's the kind of player that can turn the game on his head. But sometimes when you know, if things aren't going for a top line or two, and it just hasn't been the case where they've been able to, you know, scrape together a couple extra goals. And I believe I saw a stat yesterday that in their last 11 playoff games, they've only scored 3 goals or more once. You know, a lot of 1 and 2 goal games there, and it's just it's really disappointing to see. And it's a tough look for the organization.
Austin Matthews isn't playing the third period. Any cause for concern there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's a big cause for concern, but it's also tough just with the way that you know, the playoffs are, with the way that injuries are reported, because, you know, everybody always wants, you know, you to be able to gut through whatever injuries you're dealing with or whatever illnesses you're dealing with. And the other day the word was that he was pulled by the team doctor, which is pretty rare thing to hear in the NHL, and you know, we don't really know exactly what sort of illness he was dealing with, but anything that's that serious, you know, that obviously gets, whether it was a test in the second intermission or something they saw on the ice, or you know, word that got through, you're obviously worried if you know, that was Saturday night and he's supposed to be back on the ice for Tuesday, and you know, maybe it's something you can get through. But same thing with Nylander, right? Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, how's this guy not playing? And then it's like, oh, he's had, you know, debilitating migraines, and you know, can barely even see, according to, you know, what people say the symptoms of migraines can be. So it's obviously concerning, and you know, it's not impossible, obviously, that the Leafs come back in the series. You know, they still are a talented hockey team. They've got, you know, plenty of talented forwards and the ability to do it. But just the way the series has been going, it seems like they just haven't been able to catch the breaks, and you know, they seem a little bit overmatched for sure.
We got Adam Laskaris on Offside Daily Hive with us right now, talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs down 3-1 in their series to the Boston Bruins. You mentioned that they can climb out of this hole. How do they do it? Where do the little pieces of it start to build? Because it is a difficult task coming back from 3-1 in any series.
Yeah, I think, one thing we've seen in this series so far has just been those game-breaking, you know, like 15-second stints where there's been a couple times each team has had one where, you know, Toronto scores, you know, two goals in succession or you know, Boston scores and then Toronto scored to right afterwards. And I think I think a lot of it starts with just the emotions of it all, right? It's an old cliche, but you can't win three games at once. So I think the important thing is just, you know, keep firing pucks on that, as basic as it sounds, and just realize that you can only score one goal at a time. And so I think that the main thing would be just to kind of keep pushing as hard as you can, and you know, whatever lineup they have out there, they have to realize that, you know, this is a do or die game, and you'd hope that, you know, they just kind of approach the first period as the first period, and you know, they don't say, you know, we're gonna win the series today, and I don't know whatever motivational tactics Sheldon Keefe's gonna be pulling out, but I think the main thing is a lot of it at this point really is mental, because winning three hockey games in a row during the regular season is something that, you know, most good teams should be able to do, and winning three games in a row in the playoffs when you're down 3-1 isn't always possible. So I think a lot of it at this point is honestly just mental and realizing, yeah, it's going to be a big task, but it's kind of just a matter of, you know, getting as many pucks on net, and you hope that your goaltender can withstand the force on the other side.
We all saw the clip of Matthews and Nylander sharing some words with Mitch Marner on the bench. We don't know really exactly what was said, but we can all pretty much read the lips of William Nylander in particular. What do we make of that? I did read your article about the pressers after and talking about it, but is tension really boiling over there amongst these guys? Is there anything really to take away from that other than potentially the harshness of it? Or is this the result of even something further, or is this just what teammates do from time to time?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a bit of a, there's a lot of things to unpack there, and it's hard sometimes to play like armchair psychologist and kind of see what these guys are doing. I think, you know, they've kind of been branded through the years as always being part of the same group, right? The same core four forwards, those three along with John Tavares. And it's always kind of been the thing that they were going to stick it out with them pretty much as long as, you know, as long as they were all able to keep playing in the NHL, and they were always going to be the key priority. And, you know, those are three longest tenured Leafs at this point. So I don't think it's anything where it's like, they don't like each other, or they can't play with each other or anything like that. I think obviously there is the frustration, but I don't think that, I don't think it would show any sort of like, I don't think any long-term decisions would be made from you know, that sort of clip or players yelling at each other or anything like that. I don't think it shows any sort of animosity, especially, you know, with a player like Marner and Nylander. It looks like Nylander might have been yelling a little bit, but they generally play on separate lines anyway, right? Like, obviously, you have to go to the rink every day and see these guys, but I don't think, you know, obviously, you would like a team to get along well and talk a lot, but even if they weren't like best friends, I don't think Marner and Nylander have ever really been best friends. They played together for 8 years, and you know, they both have a great success in the NHL. Even if there was any sort of personal issues there, which I don't think there really are. So I think that, you know, these guys know kind of what's at stake, and yeah, there is frustration in the moment for sure, and I'm sure there'll be frustration over the course of the offseason, and there'd be a lot of talk over the course of the offseason, but I think, you know, players yelling at each other in the heat of the moment, I wouldn't say that it seems like anything more than a story for a couple of days to me.
Joseph Woll going to get the start tomorrow night?
It's possible. I mean, I think it's one of those things, right, where you're trying to ignite a fire in your roster, and you almost just give yourself a fresh perspective, and you give yourself, you know, somebody who says, okay, I got one game where my season's done, and, you know, throw themselves in there and try and give a jolt to the lineup. I don't know exactly if that would do it, right? Obviously, it's hard to predict, but, I don't think anybody would blame Keith if he decides to go that route. You know, obviously, retroactively, you can judge your goaltending decision based on the result of the game, but yeah. It's worth a shot. I think it's definitely worth a shot.
What about anything else throughout the playoffs that stands out to you? You know, we have six series right now in 3-1 deficits. Is there any team in particular that you think is best equipped or best set up to maybe rally back from their 3-1 deficit right now?
I do wonder, not necessarily that they're equipped by themselves, but I just wonder with the way I was watching the Vancouver Canucks National Predators series, with just with the amount of goalie injuries that Vancouver's had there, it really seems like they're trying to push it over to the finish line, right? And their you know, last night's game, they had that big comeback and ended up winning in overtime, and you just you wonder how many more, not necessarily lucky wins, but you know, how many more wins that Vancouver can pull out of this series. And they really only need the one, but you know, things in it seems with Canadian playoff teams, it never seems like it's easy for them. So I do wonder if Vancouver in their head mentally, you know, being down to their third stringer, it sounds like Casey DeSmith will probably be back for another game. But you do wonder if just where Vancouver's at, because, you know, they haven't had much playoff success either, but outside of those, you know, the bubble year in 2020. And you just wonder the Flyers mentally, where they're at that similar hump where the Leafs were for years, where they're trying to close their first playoff series win in a while as a core group. And you'd wonder just Nashville, if they have maybe have the oomph to bring it back.
Fourth one's always the hardest. Adam, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate you joining us. Love to bring you back on. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, keep in touch.
Adam Lascaris, Daily Hive. Offside writes about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Really good stuff. That guy knows a lot about hockey, knows a lot about that market there, has a good pulse on that team. They are down 3-1, and Boston will have the opportunity to move on to the second round on home ice tomorrow night. So we'll talk about that more a little bit tomorrow morning. But I wanted to jump back right before we had him on. He was great. Fellow Greek, by the way, and got to shout that out. Yeah, right before we had him on, we were deep into the Capitals Rangers series. You know, it seems like TJ Oshie might have been playing through a broken hand in that one. That's from Sammy Silder. But just how much of a warrior TJ Oshie is to be doing that. You know, everybody kind of is aware that his level of play dropped off a bit this season, especially. He's not really the same contributor that he was before. Still has another year left on his contract with the Capitals. And to be doing that and showing up and showing out like that, it is very, very impressive, and shows a lot about this Capitals team, the character that got them into the playoffs in the first place. At this point, though, when the skill is at that much of a disparity, it's going to be hard for the Capitals to be able to even get a game in there. So they are done. Rangers move on. They will face either the New York Islanders or the Carolina Hurricanes, depending on how that series ends up. Maybe we should jump there next. Islanders get a big win on Saturday in overtime. Matt Barzal gets the OT winner, and the Islanders stay alive. We were talking about which teams are most likely to make the comeback from their 3-1 deficit. Adam gave a very good answer, saying the Nashville Predators. Vancouver Canucks are hit with a lot of goaltender injuries, and we do not know the status of Casey DeSmith for Game 5 back in Vancouver. My personal opinion here is that the Winnipeg Jets or possibly the Tampa Bay Lightning have the best chance to move on to the second round facing their current 3-1 deficit. Winnipeg especially, they've got two games on home ice. The other teams are going to be on the road for potential games 5 and 7. And Winnipeg just seems like if they change the offense a little bit, they'll be able to click it into full gear here. But to be very honest, I think out of the teams in their 3-1 deficits right now, the New York Islanders are probably the team least likely to make a series out of it. I know that they showed a lot of fight on Saturday. Patrick Waugh does have them playing very hard. I just think Carolina's too good, and four games against them is very, very tough to win. So another three is going to be very hard as well. But the Islanders with a big win nonetheless. You got to start with one if you are going to get to four, and the fourth one is always the most difficult one to get, whether that is a mental thing or whether that is the other team not wanting to let you get there. And we probably should jump to that Vancouver Nashville series, because what a game 4 that was yesterday. Casey DeSmith ruled out before the game. Artur Zilovs enters the net for Vancouver for his first career playoff action. Vancouver down to their third goalie. They won game three on Friday night after only putting up 12 shots on net. And look, Nashville was up. Looked like a comfortable 3-1 score yesterday. They hit the post on the empty netter. Brock Besser finishes the hat trick in the dying seconds of the game. And then Elias Lindholm scores in overtime off great pass from Connor Garland. And it was a stunner in Nashville. You could tell that the Predators felt like they had really let one slip away there. And, you know, you can talk about lucky wins. You can talk about unexpected goaltending performances. But Vancouver's a really good team. And so is Nashville. And Nashville is obviously more healthy right now than Vancouver. But Rick Tocchet's got them playing a really committed structure right now. A structure that a lot of people did not believe the Vancouver Canucks would be able to play, saying that the defense didn't really move like that, that they didn't really hold position like that, have the strength in the corners to be able to play that style of hockey in the playoffs. They are getting it done right now. So they go up 3-1 in that series. And the Edmonton Oilers, so they wax LA 6-1 in game three on Friday night. Then they win a total opposite of a game yesterday. Stu Skinner gets his first career playoff shutout. Stops all 33 that went his way. First Oilers playoff shutout in LA, six all-time against the Kings in the playoffs. Stu Skinner only allows one goal in his two games in Los Angeles. And what was interesting before the game is the Oilers recall Jack Campbell and Philip Roberg from the AHL, which isn't unheard of. You see teams at this point in the season, there is no salary cap. You have a taxi squad available to you, or Black Aces, whatever you want to call it. And just extra players to have around just in case. So Jack Campbell joining the Edmonton Oilers, and Stu Skinner responds with arguably his best career game in the playoffs. So it looks like it will be his net for as long as this Edmonton Oilers run is going to go. And Calvin Pickard's also been very good this season since that midseason swap from the AHL to the NHL. Zach Hyman, we know he's just been unbelievable. 6 goals in 4 playoff games. So far this season, McDavid already has 10 points. First player in the playoffs to 10 points, 1 goal, 9 assists for him. And Edmonton is showing that they can do this any which way you want to do it. If you want to open it up a little bit, they will blow you out. And if you want to hold it to a 1-0 scoreline, we are comfortable winning that way too. And that's been impressive for the Oilers. They never were pegged to win that way. It was always believed that if you jumped out to a good lead against the Oilers, that they would have to play McDavid with Draisaitl. And 3 out of the 4 lines would be, you would have the advantage on. That is no longer the case anymore. They're really committed to defense. The group is really on the same page. You can tell that. And it's fun hockey to watch. It makes it, the game starting at 10:30, even Central Time, 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern, makes those games worth staying up for. So Edmonton is up 3-1 in that series, going back to Edmonton for game 5. And my thought on this is Los Angeles is going to have to really shut the door here. And it's odd because, you know, they held Edmonton to 1 goal, which is very, very impressive. But then, you know, you get the defensive script flipped on you entirely. And that's hard. That's hard. They've not been able to really open it up on offense a little bit. And, you know, players like Byfield have shown flashes of it. Kempe, Fiala, they've shown flashes of it, but haven't really been able to consistently create those grade-A scoring opportunities in the playoffs. So Edmonton walks away with a 3-1 lead in that one. They look poised to finish off that one relatively soon. We mentioned the 2 games tonight a little bit, not officially. Starts with the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. That series is game 5, shifted back down to Sunrise. Panthers with an opportunity to close that one out tonight. Looks like we'll get another Bobrovsky-Vasilevsky matchup in that one. Really impressed by Florida. Should mention Mikhail Sergachev. Florida looked like they were going to make an unbelievable comeback of their own in that game Saturday afternoon. But it would be Tampa's day as they got back into it. Have to mention Mikhail Sergachev. Makes his return to the lineup in game 4 to stay alive in the series. Records an assist in the game. This was 80 days after he fractured both the tibia and fibula in his left leg. said after the game that Steven Stamkos was a big inspiration for him making this kind of return. Back when Stammer broke his leg and was skating about 4 weeks after, said he took a lot of inspiration from that video. Nikita Kucherov records his 22nd three-point game in the playoffs. That ranks fourth all time. I don't have the other ones, although I will try to find it here. But just really good game from Tampa Bay. If my pick for the team most likely to come back from down 3-1, although I think a lot of them are in tough to make it happen. The Jets are one only because they have the opportunity for two more home games. But if Tampa Bay came back from not only down 3-1, but down 3-0, I don't think that that's entirely out of the realm of possibility. And I don't know if anybody would be entirely shocked if that were the case. But like I said, any four-game comeback, any three-game comeback starts with one. And the Tampa Bay Lightning got their one. But Florida will have the opportunity to finish it off tonight. They will need a win. And how many of us want Dallas to win this game tonight? Obviously, we remain impartial here, talking about sports. But I would really like the Dallas Stars to win this hockey game tonight. Every team on the road has won this game so far. Dallas hopes to make that streak 3-4. Wyatt Johnston got the overtime goal in game three. It was kind of a middling game before Johnston decided it was really time for him to take over and just end it right there. And he did that. And now we're sitting here at a 2-1 series. Vegas wins this. They go up 3-1. And going back to Dallas, where they've won both games on the road, would just love Dallas to tie this up. We need a series that is going to go the distance here and stretch out the first round a little bit. Would love to see that. We really want to see a 3-1 comeback too. So we'll hang on to that. And, those are your two games tonight. Then we're back to four tomorrow and then three the rest of the week. Three games each day the rest of the week. So we want these series to extend as long as possible. Great for business, fun to talk about, and fun to watch too. I mean, I will say, and I've heard this opinion around, and I will add whatever fuel to the fire of it that we provide here. First round of the playoffs has not been up to the level that we've come to expect with the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know why. I think it's the gap between some of these teams in talent. Nothing against the Rangers Capitals. I don't mind a sweep. What stands out to me is more of the six series at 3-1 right now. Not that it hasn't been great hockey. I think we're under the pace of overtimes that we've gotten in the first round the last couple of years. We had one double overtime game, that obviously being the Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes one on Saturday. But I hope it picks up here. This isn't, we don't work for the NHL. We're not a rights holder. So we can say this, that just, not super thrilled with the first round of the playoffs. It's been good. It hasn't been great. Has not lived up to the billing of that the NHL says it is. And just something that the fans and the watchers and viewers of the sport have come to expect from the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, but these games are still fun. They're still exciting. We just need to see a little bit of these series get a little tighter. So hoping Dallas wins that game tonight, or at least makes it look closer than it appears. And maybe they will turn the tide going back to Dallas. Few things here. I wanted to do a quick PWHL minute. I wanted to thank Adam Lascaris for coming on with us again. Thank you to him for taking the time and joining us. And he was really good. Go check out his stuff over at the Daily Hive and at Offside. That is the sports department of the Daily Hive. So go check that out. Really good writer. Covers the Leafs very, very well. Quick PWHL minute, though, here. They announced their draft will take place in Minnesota in June. The league's six teams will make a total of 42 picks in that draft. Much anticipated that Sarah Filliere will be the first pick in that one. Minnesota was also able to add their center ice logo to the XL Energy Center, which was super cool. We talked about Ottawa doing that for their home finale. How about that game that they had there at the XL Energy Center too? Boston, Minnesota. Hannah Brandt scores to break a tie with 2.7 left on the clock. Boston takes that one 2-1. And then a Sarah Nurse hat trick yesterday. She's really gotten better and better as the season has gone on. Maybe it was a bit of an adjustment period to enter into this league, enter into the style of play, see where you're going to fit in and how you're going to dominate She is certainly making a late season surge case for MVP in the PWHL. Toronto locks up home ice in the first round of the playoffs. Next PWHL game is tomorrow, Ottawa in New York. So that season is wrapping up. Fun to watch. Great hockey. And even the pace is picking up after the Women's Worlds and the playoffs right around the corner for them. So we will under-18s have also been really good. That on the men's side, a lot of really good performances from there from a lot of draft eligibles. TJ Ginla, who is my riser, has just been playing really, really good hockey over there. Team Canada's got a good team, and Team USA is a very good team as well. So lots of exciting players. Cole Eiserman has been really, really good in that tournament too. We'll talk more about that one as it gets out of the group stage and these games go down to the wire. And I want to mention this. I heard a clip of John Forslund, play-by-play announcer for the Seattle Kraken, talking to Mike Benton on Seattle Sports Radio, saying that he believes Jordan Eberle could be the next captain of the Seattle Kraken. Says that deciding to stay as opposed to hitting the open market, we all recall he signed a two-year extension around the time that he played his 1,000th game in the league. That means a lot to the Kraken, meant a lot to him to choose Seattle as opposed to going to somewhere where he really believes he could be in more of a position to win the Stanley Cup. So look for that. That would be kind of a nice little thing as Seattle looks to get back on track come next season. A few more series I want to touch on here. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. Just wanted to say Colorado might be a train at this point that the Jets aren't able to stop. I know I said that the Jets are most likely to come back from this 3-1 deficit, but both games in Colorado were just dominating performances by the Avalanche. Game four was likely the best game the Jets have played in the series, at least the last 30 that they've lost. But they were unable to make it happen. Cale Makar scores what might go untopped as the goal of the playoffs. Val Nichushkin's been incredible for them. I've been really impressed with guys like Miles Wood and Ross Colton. For Winnipeg, it's hard to stop this team when they're playing this way right now. So as much as I like the Jets to maybe make the leap from 3-1 to at least get it to a game seven, this Avs team is flying right now. Georgiev has really quieted down the Boo Birds after game one of the playoffs, and Winnipeg needs to figure out how to score. They got to change the lines, got to change the mix a little bit, got to get guys like Sean Monahan going. Mark Scheifele's been good in the series, but you'd like to see him put the puck in the back of the net. Kyle Connor's been good. He's been around it, but needs a little bit more of that puck luck on his stick that we all desperately search for. So that is the show for today. We're going to wrap it up there. We're going to talk more stuff tomorrow. Junior hockey is in their conference finals. All of the CHL leagues, USHL as well, is down to their final four teams. So I want to talk about those matchups going on. A lot of NHL draft talent on those squads. And, we got four games on tap for tomorrow. So very, very exciting stuff. New on the gravel is out. Go like, subscribe, leave a comment, leave five-star review for that. It's out on YouTube. So go listen to that. Where was the race this week, Raven?
There was none this week, but there's one next week in Miami. So
Miami.
First American race of the year.
Have a good day, everybody.